Chapter 7. Parts of Penn Station had been renovated recently, but it was still nowhere near as picturesque as Grand Central Station, a fact that Nico always found disappointing. The lower level was dimly lit, crowded, and claustrophobic. As they navigated their way from the Long Island Railroad terminal to the subway, Nico grumbled to Will about the station's dismal design. "It's not that bad," said Will, pointing to a nearby food stand. "Those pretzels smell delicious." "I don't think the scent of baked dough counts as a positive architectural feature," said Nico. "You're just upset that I didn't let us shadow travel or use the Gray Sisters or your zombie chauffeur. Any of which would have been easier and more fun." "What have I told you about shadow travel?" Will chided him. "It's not good for your health. You should only use it for emergencies, and this is not an emergency. Yet." As soon as he said this, a woman who was definitely a tourist walked straight into him, spilling her iced coffee down the front of Will's shirt and jeans. Once again, Nico had to hold back a laugh. The poor woman was incredibly apologetic and offered to buy Will a shirt from a gift shop. Personally, Nico would have loved to see Will in an I Love New York tee. But Will muttered that it was fine, accidents happen, and they continued on their way. "Is it an emergency yet?" Nico asked as they waited at the platform for the E train, a puddle of beverage forming around Will's feet. "It's coffee," said Will matter-of-factly. "We'll be in the warm open air soon enough, and it'll dry. Still not an emergency." It wasn't an emergency when the E train they were waiting for didn't show up for 30 minutes due to a signal problem somewhere downtown. It also wasn't an emergency when the 6th line they transferred to sat in the tunnel outside the 96th Street station for another 10 minutes. Will's clothes still damp, making the subway car smell like the dumpster behind a Starbucks. "This train is now out of service," the conductor announced when they finally pulled into the station. "I can literally hear you saying I told you so in your mind, Nico," said Will when they emerged on the Upper East Side. "You're basically yelling at me through telepathy." Nico laughed super hard. "I said no such thing." "Exactly, but you're thinking it." Nico mimed a zipper across his lips. "I am nothing if not supportive of you, Will Solace." Will turned his face to the early fall sun and breathed in deeply. "All right, Nico D'Angelo. So what's this detour you had in mind?" "Right this way," Nico said. The two of them dodged pigeons and some slow-walking tourists in a neighborhood that was very much alive and very much unaware of the gods, demigods, and monsters who called it home. The mists prevented most humans from ever seeing that magical side of the world. To a mortal, a glowing sword might look like a baseball bat, because that's what their brain could accept. A ravenous harpy might look like a bad-tempered chicken. Even a celestial fight between gods and titans might be written off as a freak thunderstorm. This was a good thing, considering how many wars for humanity had taken place here in Manhattan. But the mist sometimes deceived demigods, too, obscuring the truth of the immense primordial powers at play. And that's why Nico was taking Will to a small apartment on 104th and 1st Ave. Because only two other demigods had ever survived a journey through Tartarus, and for Will's peace of mind as well as Nico's own, he wanted to compare notes. Will did not figure out where Nico was taking him until they were in front of the building. Then he stopped cold. "What are we doing here?" he asked. "Recruiting Percy? I thought he was in California." Nico scowled. "Not recruiting him. Hades, no. I wouldn't dream of that. He more than deserves time off." "Then you'll see." Nico led the way inside and up the stairs. When the apartment's front door opened, Sally Jackson smiled, her daughter Estelle firmly attached at the hip. "Hello, boys. Been a few months since I got a demigod visit," she said, and Estelle cooed. "Come on in." It was strange being in Percy's home without him. Sally set Estelle in her playpen and then headed for the kitchen. She returned with a plate of blue sugar cookies. "You know," she said, setting them down on the dining room table, "I could make cookies in any other color, but it's mostly habit at this point." "Thank you, but we don't want to put you to any trouble," said Will. He glanced at Nico.
Do we?
No, said Nico, though he considered Sally's cookies a really great kind of trouble. I just wanted to contact Percy and Annabeth, and I thought, well, this might be the best place to do it from.
Contact him? Asked Sally,
taking the empty chair across from them.
About what?
As best as he could, Nico briefly summarized the story of Bob and the prophecy. Sally turned down a corner of her mouth.
You're not thinking of asking Percy to go with you, are you? Because he's just gotten settled at college and this is the closest thing to normal. He's
not at all. Nico cut her off. I promise.
Good.
Sally crossed her arms over her chest. Because I would never want Percy or Annabeth to have to face that place again.
You shouldn't go either, dear. No matter who is in danger.
It's different for me, Nico assured her. As the son of Hades, I know my way around.
But Will...
Will leaned back, understanding dawning on his face.
Oh, I get it. You want me to talk to Percy, so he can discourage me from going.
No, Nico protested, though maybe that thought had been in the back of his mind.
But I know you're nervous about it, and you worry I'm underselling the danger. So I thought it might help to hear from someone who isn't related to Hades and who still survived Tartarus.
Barely, Sally murmured. Percy doesn't tell me the details of everything he's been through. I think he believes he's protecting me. But I do know that his worst nightmares are about Tartarus.
Will gulped.
Wow, this is already helping so much.
Nico tried to push down his rising frustration.
Will, just talk to Percy, okay?
Will managed to smile.
Yeah, of course. It'll be nice to see him.
And Annabeth, too, if we can.
Wait, how exactly are we contacting them? Iris message?
Nico turned to Sally.
I was hoping you might know their schedules. I don't want to send them a glowing hologram when they're in the middle of a lecture or something.
Sally smirked.
I'm not saying I have their college schedules memorized, but this time of day, West Coast time, I imagine they're both at Percy's dorm. Hopefully studying for their English exam.
Perfect. Nico pulled a golden drachma out of his pocket. Next question, Miss Jackson. Do you have a standard way of sending him Iris messages? Like, so I don't have to spray water all over your apartment?
Very thoughtful, said Sally.
I have just the thing. Come on.
She gathered up Estelle and led them down the hallway, Nico and Will both grabbing some cookies on the way. They ended up in Percy's old bedroom, which again, Nico found very strange. He remembered years ago, coming in through that fire escape window and, to his surprise, being offered some of Percy's birthday cake. It had been one of the first glimmers Nico had ever felt of true friendship.
Here we are,
said Sally, gesturing to a contraption on Percy's dresser. Will laughed with delight.
That's actually kind of brilliant,
Nico had to agree. Percy had rigged a humidifier next to a desk lamp, so when Sally turned it on, a veil of steam bloomed upward, the water droplets breaking the light into shards of color. Just what you needed to ask a favor of Iris, the rainbow goddess.
Nico held up his gold drachma.
Oh, goddess, accept our offering, he prayed.
Then he tossed the coin into the steam where it promptly disappeared. Show me Percy Jackson at New Rome University. Seconds later, a familiar face took up most of the image of the Iris message. Percy's green eyes looked like blotches of algae floating in the steam.
Nico?
He asked. Then he stepped back and took in more of the scene.
Mom, is everything okay?
Estelle squealed with delight at the sound of her brother's voice. Sally laughed.
Yes, Percy, everything's fine. Your friends just stopped by for a visit.
From what little Nico could see in the background, Percy was indeed in his dorm room. There was a small, unmade bed to the left, and a desk covered in books and papers. Percy himself looked somewhat disheveled, too.
Nico, said Percy. Oh, man, it's so good to see you.
Annabeth loomed into view, pushing Percy out of the way.
What's going on? Do we need to come fight someone?
Then her expression brightened.
Oh, hey, Nico. And is that Will? Will Solace, how are you?
We're good, said Will, beaming. How's college life?
Shockingly normal,
said Annabeth.
Aside from the stray monster or two, the biggest worry we've had is getting to class on time.
Only I seem to have trouble with that, grumbled Percy.
You're not missing classes, are you?
Said Sally.
Percy's eyes went wide. No, definitely not. Never missed a class in my life.
Didn't you set your high school on fire once?
Said Annabeth.
I bet you missed class that day.
You know that isn't what happened. They were in Pusai. How was I supposed to know that Hecate was setting me up?
Annabeth smirked at the others.
He's so easy to wind up.
Percy grunted.
Anyway, he said, peering at Nico and Will. What's up?
So, we wanted to get your advice, said Nico, about a quest.
Whoa, you guys got one?
Said Annabeth.
Ooh, tell us about it.
Well, said Nico, grimacing, we're going down to Tartarus.
There was a long silence. If it wasn't for Annabeth and Percy blinking, Nico would have believed there was some type of problem with the Iris message connection. They'd recently gone almost a year without magical communications because of the evil triumvirate, so it wasn't like that was impossible. Still, Nico should have anticipated their reaction. Finally, Annabeth turned to Percy.
He said Tartarus, right?
Maybe it's a quest for tartar sauce, Percy said. Something low stakes and delicious.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Annabeth looked back at Nico.
So a tartar sauce quest, good for you. Goes great with fish and chips.
Come on, guys, said Nico. I'm being serious.
Oh, we know, said Annabeth. So are we. You should definitely take up a tartar sauce quest. Maybe consider a nice lemon aioli? That could be exciting.
Annabeth, please, Will began.
I saw a kid in the dining hall the other day mix every condiment available into a masterful nightmare of a sauce, said Percy.
He called it the explosion, because it would be an explosion in the mouth, said Annabeth.
Makes a lot of sense.
Nico groaned and Estelle giggled in her mother's arms.
Sounds like you all need to discuss this among yourselves, said Sally, bouncing Estelle gently on her hip.
There's nothing to discuss, said Percy.
Love you, Percy, Sally called out. Stop missing classes.
There was another awkward bout of silence when Sally and Estelle left the room. Nico sat on the edge of Percy's bed.
Will and I are going, whether we discuss this or not, he said.
I was hoping you two could give Will something in the way of advice so that the journey isn't as hard on him.
Annabeth shook her head.
It's Tartarus, Nico. You almost lost your mind there once before. We weren't even in Tartarus that long, and it nearly destroyed us.
I practically lost myself in that place, said Percy. The things I saw, the things I did.
He shuddered.
I still have nightmares about Achilles.
Well, this definitely doesn't make me feel any better,
said Will, plopping down next to Nico.
And you two are willingly going there? Said Annabeth, her voice pitched high. What is this quest? What possible reason? Bob!
Nico shouted, louder than he'd intended.
I'm going back for Bob.
Now it was Percy and Annabeth's turn to look uncomfortable. Percy closed his eyes for a long moment.
Oh, Nico, he said. I'm sorry. I know this is going to sound terrible, said Annabeth. But I wasn't even thinking of him. Gods, how could I forget?
Will reached over and grazed the back of Nico's hand with his fingertips.
We know this quest is a bad idea, but there have been some developments.
Nico, tell them.
And so Nico did, as carefully as he could. When he recounted his most recent string of nightmares, the voice calling for help, the apparitions all telling Nico to listen, Percy and Annabeth became visibly upset.
We shouldn't have left Bob down there, said Percy softly. I knew this would come back to haunt us one day. I suspected it would too, said Annabeth. But why you, Nico? I mean, no offense, but wouldn't Bob reach out to me and Percy as well, since we were the ones who saw him last?
Nico didn't answer, though one theory lurked in a dark corner of his mind. Maybe because Bob thought I would help, but he wasn't sure about you two. Will seemed to pick up on his brooding thoughts. He hooked his finger around Nico's.
Guys, I agree it's troubling that this prophecy seems geared only for Nico. We don't know what Bob's situation is. We don't know if this is some kind of trap.
I don't care if it is, said Nico, because Bob is really in pain. I know it. I need to do something to help him. We can't leave him down there to suffer.
Will squeezed his hand.
Exactly. We have to try. So if there's anything you guys could tell us that might help.
Percy's gaze became unfocused, as if he were staring into the past.
Well, Bob is a former Titan. That means Tartarus itself doesn't affect him the way it does us. At least he has some mental protection against the place. If he survived that battle with Gaia's minions.
Nico could tell Percy was grasping at reasons for optimism, but they all knew Tartarus was the bleakest, most dangerous, most toxic environment in creation. Even if Bob had some resistance, even if he was an immortal being, there were plenty of things down there that could make a Titan wish he could die. Nico was beginning to wonder if this Perkabeth pep talk had been such a good idea after all.
Is there any protection I can bring?
Will asked. He let go of Nico's hand and rummaged through his knapsack. He pulled out a sun globe.
I do have this.
Why would you need...
Annabeth began.
Oh, duh. Child of Apollo, that's actually really smart.
Percy frowned.
Yeah, no sunlight. I didn't consider that. Tartarus is going to be worse for you than anyone else.
When Annabeth gently slapped his shoulder, he winced.
What? I'm not wrong.
Will's whole body seemed to deflate.
So there's nothing else I can do?
Now, wait a second, said Annabeth.
That's not what either of us said. In fact, I would say that you and Nico have one big advantage.
Percy nodded.
You two have each other.
Nico squinted at him.
Okay, what does that mean? Besides sounding like a cheesy Hallmark card.
It's exactly what it sounds like, said Annabeth, because that cheesiness is what's going to make the journey survivable.
Okay, said Will. Meaning what, though?
Tartarus wears down your sense of self, said Percy. It honestly feels like it was designed to make mortals suffer. The more time you spend on there, the worse it gets.
I remember that, said Nico, a familiar coldness creeping into his limbs. It's like an endless dark voice in your head telling you that you're the worst.
Percy was nodding.
And then there's the Cocytus, the river of lamentation, which is like that times 10.
Will ran his fingers through his blonde hair.
So how is this supposed to help exactly?
Nico went through Tartarus alone, said Percy. Well, maybe not totally alone, but he certainly didn't have someone alongside him who cared about him and was invested in making sure he survived the journey. Honestly, I don't know how he did it.
Nico's ears burned. He wasn't sure if the awe in Percy's voice made him feel pleased or resentful. Annabeth wrapped her arm around Percy.
Being together is what made the difference for the two of us.
Her gray eyes fixed intently on Nico, then Will.
We reminded each other about the world above. We did what we could when one of us was suffering to try and lift their spirits. Told jokes, stories, anything. Having a companion makes all the difference down there.
And who knows, Will? Percy added. Maybe you'll find that being the son of Apollo gives you some kind of advantage. It's possible that your powers will actually be stronger down there.
But don't depend on it, said Annabeth. We both felt drained all the time. If it hadn't been for Bob.
She gazed at Percy, a regretful sadness on her face.
He wouldn't have made it.
he said, finishing her sentence. Nico was now more certain than ever that he had to complete this quest. It wasn't right that Bob had gotten left behind, and he would do pretty much anything to fix this.
Thanks, said Will. That actually does help to know. But he didn't speak with much certainty. When his eyes met Nico's, they betrayed his fear.
Well, thanks, guys, said Nico. We should let you go.
Be careful, said Annabeth. I know it goes without saying, but we don't want to lose either of you.
We've all lost so much already, said Percy. Honestly, though, if any two people could survive a journey to Tartarus and back, I think it's you two.
Warmth spread through Nico's chest. He remembered why he'd been drawn to Percy Jackson in the first place. Like Will Solace, Percy had an inexplicable, stubborn faith in other people.
Thanks, Nico said. That means a lot, coming from you.
One last thing, said Annabeth. I don't know if it's possible, but see if you can find Bob's cat.
Small Bob, exclaimed Percy.
Oh man, I hope he survived too.
A cat? Said Will.
Not just any cat, said Annabeth. He's a Spartos, created from the fang of a saber-toothed tiger. He looks like a calico cat, but he's so much more.
Bob and that cat were inseparable, said Percy.
Bring them both home if you can.
We'll do our best, said Nico, nodding.
Promise.
They said their goodbyes, and the iris message faded. Will and Nico sat in silence for a few moments before Sally Jackson returned.
You get what you needed?
Yes, thank you, said Will.
I take it Percy couldn't talk you out of it? Asked Sally.
He tried, said Nico. He would have been proud.
But we're still going,
Will said, and Nico heard resolve in his voice. Sally Jackson sighed.
Well then, you boys want some snacks for the road?
Nico got the sense that this wasn't the first time she'd had to deal with despondent demigods in her home. She seemed unfazed by it all. Will helped her pack some blue sugar cookies in his bottomless knapsack while Nico wandered into the living room. Displayed on a bookshelf were various photos of Percy through the years. Nico picked up one of a young Percy, maybe 8 years old, standing next to his mother, arms around her waist, his mouth open in a wide smile. They looked to be in Central Park, and snow was falling around them.
Sometimes I need reminders of the normal good times, said Sally as she came up behind Nico. What with all the chaos in our lives, despite it all, we actually did get to do some fun family stuff together.
Nico turned to her.
You're not afraid.
Hmm? What do you mean? All this talk here today, you didn't bat an eye. Doesn't it ever freak you out?
It has, she acknowledged. And I've seen some terrible things. There were certainly moments when I wasn't sure my son would come back.
He disappeared for months that one time, remember?
Nico nodded.
Yeah, I was the first half-blood camper to find him in Camp Jupiter after he was swapped with Jason Grace.
But at the same time, he's part of something wonderful now, and honestly, that makes it a lot easier.
Part of what? Asked Will, rubbing blue crumbs from the corners of his mouth.
Did you leave any for me?
Nico said. Will just smiled.
Percy's part of a great big family, said Sally. He's got friends like you and Will, and many others across the globe. And all of you, at a moment's notice, would do everything in your power to save the people you love. What more could a mother ask for?
As Will and Nico left Sally Jackson's home, Nico kept thinking about Sally's words.
Family.
I guess Camp Half-Blood is basically one big super dysfunctional family, he thought. He wasn't sure what awaited him and Will in the coming days, but he grabbed Will's hand as they walked back to the subway. If they were going to survive Tartarus, then it was time to believe what Annabeth and Percy had told them. They'd have to do it together. Chapter 8. After an uneventful ride south on the 6 train, Nico and Will made their way to the southernmost edge of Central Park. Some of the leaves on the trees were beginning to turn yellow, and a light breeze rustled them. Joggers and cyclists zipped along the main road as Nico guided Will toward the woodland. When Nico stopped in front of a large grouping of boulders made up of Manhattan schist, Will raised an eyebrow.
"Where do we go next?"
he asked. Nico pointed at the rocks.
"Through there."
Will regarded the giant gray slabs.
"Am I missing something?"
"Nico, they're just rocks. What are we supposed to do?"
"Oh, I am not doing anything," said Nico proudly. "I need you to sing."
Will looked around him.
"Is this a prank? Did you and Mr. D come up with this? Are there hidden cameras?"
"I'm honored that you think I'm capable of orchestrating a prophecy to pull off such a thing, but no, this isn't a joke. This is the literal door of Orpheus."
"Oh," said Will.
"Then, oh, so it's," Nico nodded, "one of the only remaining secret entrances into the underworld."
"Which Orpheus opened with music," said Will.
"Exactly," said Nico. "You think you could give it a try?" Will took a deep breath.
"Yeah, I can. And then, that's it?"
"That's it," Nico agreed.
"Our journey can begin."
Will turned around slowly, taking in the gorgeous Central Park trees that rose above them. "I don't know how long this adventure is going to take," he said as he spun. "So first, I just want to get a last look at everything, to recharge my internal battery."
"You're cute when you're nervous."
Will came to a stop, and Nico reached out to bring him into a hug. "When they let go," Nico said, "we're going to be fine. Just keep in mind what Percy and Annabeth said. We'll stick close together, okay? I know the underworld well."
"I'm not that worried about you," said Will. "I'm more freaked out about how I'm going to react. It's going to be dark, scary. I'll be surrounded by death and sadness and misery."
"It's not all bad," said Nico. "Besides, our friends will help us."
"The troglodytes, you mean?"
Nico smiled, picturing the small frog-like humanoids who had helped them defeat Nero. "They'll be in good hands, little webbed hands with lots of pointy claws." Will scratched his head.
"Okay, I guess it'll be nice to see them.
Are you sure they'll help us again, though?"
"Why wouldn't they?" said Nico.
"Well, we kind of destroyed their home, didn't we?"
"That was an accident, first of all. We had no idea the Tori Sylvestros had followed us."
"I know, but still. Wouldn't you be mad if someone accidentally destroyed Camp Half-Blood by allowing mad bulls in to trample it?"
"Second of all," said Nico, "I helped the Trogs find a new home."
It took Will a moment to put the pieces together.
"So, you're expecting them to help us. You found them a new home. You relocated them to the underworld?"
Nico nodded.
"They're even farther underground now and less likely to be found. As long as they stay out of my father's view, they'll be safer."
Will shook his head, clearly mystified.
"I don't understand how anyone could live down there."
A burst of irritation jolted Nico's heart. He pressed his lips together so as not to blurt out his initial reaction, which wasn't very kind.
"The underworld isn't what you think it is," he said quietly. "There's a lot more to it. You'll see."
"Okay," said Will. "I trust you." This time when he smiled, it didn't really make Nico feel better. So Nico just stepped aside and gestured at the rocks.
"A song, please."
Will approached the massive boulders. He took another deep breath and started into a soft, winding melody. It was a familiar one to Nico. He'd heard Will sing it when he was using his healing abilities on someone. As Will's voice rose and fell, Nico saw small green shoots sprout up from the ground around him. A few of them bloomed yellow flowers.
"Well, that's new,"
Nico said aloud to himself. No sooner had he uttered those words, and the rocks groaned and shuddered. Will stopped singing and moved back, his eyes full of wonder, as a triangular crevice appeared, just big enough for a person to squeeze through. Inside, steps led down into deep darkness. Will covered his mouth and nose.
Ugh, what's that smell?
The odors hit Nico then. Mildew, decay, dust.
Home.
That's the underworld. He drew his Stygian iron sword. I'll go first.
Will grabbed his arm. Shouldn't I use my glow-in-the-dark power for more light? Nico shook his head. Save that for later. No sense draining yourself. There was a sheen of sweat on Will's forehead.
If you're sure.
Rather than draw this out any longer, Nico reached down and grabbed Will's hand.
Come on, he said.
And he led his boyfriend into the stairwell. After the first few steps, Nico glanced back to see the shape of Will's curls in the bright light of Central Park behind him. Then, with a loud groan, the crevice closed, and darkness swallowed the two demigods. Only the blade of Nico's sword cast any light, a dim purple glow that made the shadows feel even thicker.
Oh, wow, Will said. It's really dark down here.
Nico was ready to crack a terrible joke, but right then a sensation of dread trickled over his skin. He raised his sword and peered into the gloom. The passage continued down as far as he could see, silent and empty.
Nico, what is it?
Something rustled in the darkness, but behind them, where the door of Orpheus had just closed. Nico spun, gently pushing Will to one side, and stuck his sword in that direction. There was nothing.
What's happening?
Will demanded. Nico brought his sword back close to his body. He turned to Will.
I think you got me all amped up is all. I'm imagining things.
Will didn't look convinced. Unfortunately, Nico wasn't sure he believed it either.
Okay, Will said. But is it going to be this dark the whole time?
Oh no, not at all. We have to descend these steps for a while, but once we emerge in the underworld, it's, well, you'll see. This is the only part without any light. He paused. At least before we get to Tartarus.
Good to know, Will muttered.
Nico headed down the narrow stairway, and Will followed. The steps were much steeper than Nico would have liked, but that was mostly because he was worried for Will. He could hear his boyfriend's footsteps echoing around him. Will was tapping his feet on every step as if to make sure it was solid. After a few minutes, Nico paused.
You're nervous, he said. Just take the steps like you normally would. It'll be all right.
Will started to answer, then stopped and looked behind him.
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Is something following us?
Nico didn't hear anything this time.
Maybe it's your imagination, said Nico. This place can feel very strange the first time. Okay,
said Will, his voice shaky.
Lead the way then.
They continued. Will had Nico stop a few more times, but in each instance, Nico couldn't hear whatever it was his companion had. So they kept going, descending deeper and deeper. Nico knew that the stairway was lengthy, so he tried to remain as calm as possible as he put one foot in front of the other, careful not to slip on the slimy steps. It wasn't long before impatience began to creep along Nico's spine. He remembered descending these same steps years ago when he had led Percy to his father. The memory stung a little. He hadn't really wanted to betray Percy, but he'd needed to know more about his own childhood, which he'd lost in the River Lethe. But Nico recalled that it had maybe taken an hour or so to traverse the entire set of steps. Had it been an hour since Will parted the stones? Or had it been longer? Weren't journeys supposed to feel shorter when you'd done them before? Will echoed Nico's thoughts.
How much farther do we have to go?
He asked. I feel like we've been going down forever.
I think we've got a bit more, said Nico, panting.
His arm was tired from holding out his sword. The last time he'd made this journey, Percy had been the one to light the way. Funny how the older Nico got, the more he saw things about Percy differently.
Like, I get that it's the underworld, said Will. So we have to go under the earth, but this...
Shh. Nico froze so suddenly that Will ran into him.
What is it?
Whispered Will. Do you hear that?
They both stood still. From somewhere ahead came a muted roar, like a rainstorm against a metal roof.
What is that? Asked Will.
Nico smiled. That's the River Styx. We're almost there. The two of them forged ahead. Nico began to take the steps two at a time. He nearly slipped on one of the stones, then steadied himself and waited for Will to catch up. Soon, a dim gray light filled the tunnel. Nico did his best to keep his cool as they continued their descent. The roar of the Styx turned from muted to thunderous. The steps started to level out. When Nico reached the bottom of the stairwell, he emerged into a large cavern lit by glowing stalactites overhead. To his right, the River Styx spilled over the edge of a towering climb and cascaded down a set of rocky rapids. And in the distance, the underworld. Fires guttered on the ramparts of Erebos, the kingdom of death. Masses of ghosts converged on the great iron gates like a fog bank, clamoring to get in. Beyond those walls, Nico knew, lay the ghosts' final destinies. Elysium, for the lucky few who had been virtuous in life. The fields of punishment, for the wicked. And the bleak fields of Asphodel, for the indifferent and the neutral, which was most of humanity. Beyond those fields would be Hades' palace, all sharp angles and shadows. Nico was glad they were too far away to be able to make out any of those details. Will didn't need to see the fates of the dead. He was already nervous enough. Nico's head spun with exhaustion. For a moment, he thought he saw a dark shape in his peripheral vision, something strange and menacing. But when he turned, there was only Will.
Welcome to the underworld, Nico said.
Will frowned, then put a hand behind his head. He was still breathing heavily.
Is this a joke?
A joke? Nico was stunned. Why would you call my father's home a joke? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You said we were here, said Will.
We are. Nico spread his arms wide. Will fixed his eyes on the distance.
No, we're not.
Nico turned to look again and...
What?
They were back in the stairwell. The cavernous vista of Erebos was gone. The steps before them seemed to continue endlessly down into darkness.
No,
screamed Nico.
What is happening? We just made it and...
Can you hear that? Asked Will, cutting him off.
The river.
Because I can. They fell silent again. Sure enough, the distant rush of the River Styx echoed up through the tunnel.
I don't understand, said Nico. I saw the underworld. I saw the River Styx and...
Will sat down on the steps.
There wasn't anything, Nico. It was just more stairs.
That's impossible. That's not how this is supposed to work.
Regardless, we're still not there.
Do you think your father is trying to prevent us from entering the underworld?
No, said Nico.
Then,
I don't think so. He shouldn't even know that we're here.
You sure about that? Said Will. Nico hesitated.
Let's keep going. If I see the end of the tunnel again, I'll ask if you see it too.
He helped Will up, and then they pushed on. Nico wasn't positive, but it seemed like another hour passed before the sound of the Styx finally got louder and the tunnel filled with gray light once more. Nico reached back for Will, and his boyfriend's hand slipped into his.
There, said Nico. Do you see that brightness ahead?
After a short pause, Will said,
Actually, yeah, I do.
Okay, said Nico. Good, let's keep moving. Moments later, as the darkness receded,
Nico spotted the base of the steps.
Can you see that? Said Nico, pointing.
Yes, said Will, breathless. It's the end.
They rushed down the remaining steps and into the cavern. As before, the Styx's waterfall roared to Nico's right. Across the river loomed the burning ramparts of Erebos. Nico had this whole plan in his head to explain the geography of Erebos to Will so he'd have some idea where they were heading. But when he turned to speak, his heart sank. It wasn't just Will's panicked expression that terrified him. Somehow, their surroundings had changed again. Nico couldn't believe it, but they now stood in the woods of Central Park, in the dead of night. His heart racing, he pivoted and stared at the blank gray wall of schist that marked the door of Orpheus. There was a thump behind Nico. Will had fallen to his knees in the wet grass. Nico, he said desolately. What's happening? If I remember correctly, said Nico, the first time I met Will was during a battle. Which one? Will narrowed his eyes. He still looked so weak and tired. Oh, wait, was it when Octavian's faction attacked the camp? No, said Nico. Wasn't that only like a little over a year ago? We've known each other a lot longer than that. Oh, Will rubbed his face. Sorry, you're right. Nico felt another twinge of concern. Is your memory getting worse? Will grunted but did not answer the question. You were around before that, he said hazily. Long before, back around the time when the Battle of Manhattan. Nico smiled. Yeah, I was. I wasn't staying at Camp Half-Blood much, though. I remember that, and even when you were at camp, it was so hard to pin you down. You wouldn't stay put. You were afraid. Afraid of getting close to anyone. Nico was silent for a moment. Sometimes I still am, he said. Like earlier, when you were complaining that I wasn't telling you things. Sort of. Will pressed his hand against his stomach. I don't know if I was being fair to you. That's not important now, said Nico. Let's get through this. I hope you do not feel that I am something to get through, said Gorgira. I am not trying to make things difficult for you boys. For a moment, Nico had almost forgotten the nymph was there. He tried to tamp down his fear and frustration, his urge to scream, just let us go. It's a trade, right? He said. We give you our story and you give us a boat. If you must see it that way, she said. Yes. I remember. Will coughed softly, and Nico ran his hand over his boyfriend's back. His eyes traveled down to the gauze on Will's leg. It was completely soaked through with blood. What do you remember? Gorgira asked. I remember how sad I was when he left to go find Percy, Will said to Nico. When he disappeared. You were sad, but did we even know each other then? Maybe not as close friends or anything, but I was drawn to you. Maybe it was because you were so mysterious. Maybe it was because you kept pushing everyone away whenever they tried to be your friend. Not a lot of people tried to be my friend in those days, said Nico. That's not true, said Will, and for a moment his energy seemed to come back. Plenty of us tried to be friendly to you, and you always had an excuse or a mean remark ready for us. That doesn't sound like me, Nico said, trying to play it deadpan. But Will gave him a stern look. Nico laughed. Okay, fine. Maybe that sounds like me. We met way before the Battle of Manhattan, actually, said Will, leaning against Nico. You came into the big house, remember? What?
Nico scratched at his head.
When was this? Back when I was still training to be a field medic with Michael Yu.
Will fell silent, unable to finish, and that's when the fragment of memory came back to Nico.
The sword fight, he said. I'd only been at camp a couple of days. Kyron had me training with the other campers, and I went too hard. You sliced your own leg, said Will, smiling weakly. If I remember correctly, you missed the target dummy completely because you were arguing with Kyron.
I love that you seem to remember all the most embarrassing moments of my life, said Nico. Way to go, Will.
I only remember that because of what came after. The part that's more striking was you. In the big house, you wouldn't sit still, and Michael was barking commands at you because you were bleeding everywhere, and you calmed me down, said Nico.
And the image bloomed in his mind, a young Will Solace, his blonde hair bushy and slightly unkempt, holding Nico's leg still. Will's blue eyes boring into his own.
At least I tried, said Will. I don't think it worked.
It did, said Nico. Even if it was only for a moment, I was a little difficult when I was younger. Will grinned.
Oh, only when you were younger?
Shut up.
That's news to me. You've never been difficult since.
Nico shifted uneasily. He glanced over at the old nymph, who was studying the two of them with a wistful look.
So is that it, Will?
Nico asked. Is that really how we met?
I think so. I'm pretty sure I saw you running around Camp Half-Blood when you were originally rescued by Percy and Annabeth, but that was our first face-to-face moment.
Nico shook his head.
I didn't even realize that was you back then. But, well, I also don't remember much about my first few weeks at the camp. I felt so out of place.
Gorgira sighed.
It seems you two have a complicated and labyrinthine connection. Would really love to never think about a labyrinth ever again, Nico muttered.
She smiled.
I find this fascinating. Sometimes mortals are not aware of the threads that bind them. You could both be wrong about the first time you met, and yet the two of you have orbited each other for so long, like heavenly bodies in the sky.
Will squeezed Nico's hand.
I like how that sounds.
Nico studied Will's broken fingernails, the cuts on his knuckles. He certainly felt like he was spinning through space. Like he would go shooting off into the void if it weren't for Will's gravity.
Well, Nico said at last, maybe we don't remember the first time we actually met, but I do remember when I considered you a friend.
Tell me, Gorgira said. Nico heard the yearning in her voice, insatiable, like the three-headed dog Cerberus begging for bones. Just one more, just one more. Nico worried Gorgira would keep demanding stories, pulling on string after string until their whole lives were unraveled at her feet. Nevertheless, he wanted to talk about it. He looked into Will's tired blue eyes when he spoke, not Gorgira's. It was at camp, after Octavian, when he, you know. Will's face drooped. Nico knew he hated that memory. When Nico and Michael Cahale had allowed Octavian to launch himself to his own death. I remember. We had defeated Gaia. You were standing in the doorway of your cabin.
Will laughed softly. I remember that too. I think I scolded you pretty hard.
You did, confirmed Nico. But it was the way you did it. You made it clear that you wanted me around. You said you wanted me to come to the infirmary and help because you could use a friendly face.
It was true, and you did help.
You brought me closer instead of rejecting me, Nico said, his voice cracking. I'd never been called a friendly face. Ever. You made me rethink everything. My place in camp, My crush on Percy. My future. It took you scolding me like you were the camp director to make me realize that I was wanted.
Gorgeira sniffled, then wiped her eyes.
You'll have to excuse me, she said. It is hard not to react to something like that.
Will swayed, and Nico steadied him.
You okay? Asked Nico.
This place, he said. I'm so tired.
I know, Nico said, watching apprehensively as the blood seeped across the gauze bindings on Will's leg.
He turned to Gorgeira.
We need to go if we're going to reach Tartarus.
Wait,
said Will.
I remember something else. I know we need to go, but you remember what Percy and Annabeth said? About how important it is to remind each other of the world above?
Nico frowned.
But we're not even in Tartarus yet.
It feels like we are,
said Will.
And I know you're worried, but just give me this. It does make me feel better.
Nico gazed at Gorgeira, and the whispers in his mind returned. Voices telling him what he already knew about himself, all his worst fears and failures.
All right,
he said to Will,
if it helps.
That brought a bit of color back into Will's face.
I remember when I realized, when I knew that this was more than a friendship.
That made Nico smile despite himself. I remember my moment too. Will's eyes filled with tears.
I think mine is different than yours.
But I know mine happened first, Nico said.
Tell me,
Gorgeira said, moving closer to Nico and Will.
Tell me one more story.
And Nico felt another string start to unravel.
Chapter 9. Nico rushed to Will and pulled him to his feet.
Are you okay? What happened?
Will dusted himself off.
I suddenly felt sleepy, like I hadn't slept in a million years. Then he looked around.
Nico? Why are we back in Central Park?
I don't know,
he admitted. It shouldn't be possible. And yet he could hear leaves rustling in the wind and the distant sound of traffic.
But we went down all those steps,
said Will.
Like twice. Maybe you were right,
Nico said. Maybe my father is preventing us from going into the underworld somehow. He walked up to the massive rocks that made up the door of Orpheus. He placed his hand on them. They felt very real, rough, solid, and cool to the touch.
Can you try to open this again?
Will shook himself like a wet dog.
Just trying to wake up.
He approached the door and began humming the same melody as before. Slowly, the schist rumbled and split apart, revealing the dank, dark steps again. Will plugged his nose.
I don't think I'll ever get used to that smell.
Nico held his purple glowing sword in front of him as he led the way down the steps. As before, the door closed behind them, filling the space with terrible silence.
We're going to have to do this all over, aren't we?
Said Will.
I'm already so tired. It doesn't make sense, said Nico, descending. I've never had anything like this happen before, which makes me think it isn't Hades. He wouldn't toy with us like this.
Will gave him a skeptical look. Then, what is it? He asked. Is there someone or something else that can make this happen in the underworld? Nico sighed. Are you asking me if there are terrible creatures who can do awful things to us down here? Sure, but I don't know if you really want me to list them all. He turned to face Will,
but Will wasn't there.
Nico stared at the empty space behind him. No Will, no stairway, no tunnel, just darkness.
His heart climbed into his throat. Will?
I'm right here, said Will.
Nico jumped.
Will was, in fact, standing right in front of him, exactly where he hadn't been a moment before.
The steps, the tunnel, were where they should be.
What is going on? Nico wondered.
He remembered an old stereoscope his mother had owned back in the 1930s. At the time, it had seemed like magic to Nico. He would put his eyes in the view mask as his mother changed 3D photo cards at the other end of a guide stick. One moment, Nico was in Paris. Then, in the blink of an eye, he was at the Great Wall of China, then the Grand Canyon. Nico felt like that now, stuck in a stereoscope he couldn't control, and he wasn't sure who was changing the cards.
Are you okay?
Will asked.
You looked panicky there for a second.
You weren't there.
Nothing was. It was just me in the darkness.
In the purple glow of Nico's blade, Will's face seemed to float in and out of focus.
But I've been here the whole time. I didn't see anything change.
Nico tried to think. It wasn't easy with the adrenaline buzzing through his system.
Something doesn't want us to make it to the underworld, he decided.
Will, I think you were right from the start. Can you do the glowing thing? Maybe a better light source will help us see what's actually going on.
Okay, said Will, his voice trembling ever so slightly. Whatever you say.
His skin began to glow like rice paper lit from behind by a candle. Nico found the sight both beautiful and unsettling, as if his boyfriend were about to burst into flames. They descended once more. For the third attempt, the dim light of the underworld began to shine at the end of the long passage, but it seemed to happen much more quickly this time. Maybe Will's glow was helping? Nico could make out the roar of the river Styx below. Finally, the steps gave way to the uneven ground of the cavern, and Nico reached back for Will's hand.
Don't let go of me,
he said, holding his Stygian iron sword before him. No matter what happens. Will clutched him tightly.
I got you.
Nico managed a few steps toward the river's edge, and that's when a wave of exhaustion rolled over him and an uncontrollable desire to curl up and sleep. It was an unusual sensation for him, because he wasn't much of a sleeper. He'd spent many a night at Camp Half-Blood wandering the grounds instead of lying in bed, anything to avoid the dreams he'd been having. And if his dreams in the mortal world were so terrible, he thought with a shudder, what would they be like in the underworld?
Will, keep your eyes open, he said. Don't close them. Why do I feel so sleepy?
Will's grip on Nico's hand was already loosening.
Should we rest?
Nico forced himself to look across the river to the black ramparts of Erebos.
Was this his father's doing?
Had Hades somehow discovered that Nico was trying to cross his realm and deliberately enter Tartarus? Maybe this was his way of saying, no way, Jose.
We can't rest yet, said Nico.
We have to follow the river and make our way down those cliffs. It's not too far. Then we can find the troglodytes and rest, I promise. Thump. Will's hand slipped out of Nico's, and when Nico turned, he found that his boyfriend, whose illumination was much dimmer, had fallen to the ground again.
No, Nico cried. Not here, please. I can't, said Will. I can't be here.
Please get up, begged Nico, his arms under Will's armpits trying to lift him, but it was hopeless.
This place, said Will, it's not meant for someone like me. Do you need your sun lamp?
Nico's heart raced faster.
Why is this happening so suddenly?
Nico looked up and...
No. No.
Darkness was seeping into his field of vision. The world around him, the cavern walls, Erebos, the river Styx, began to fade away.
Not again, Nico called out. Stop it!
When he looked down at Will, his boyfriend's internal light had extinguished, and he seemed to be completely asleep on the...
What?
the grass. Will was curled up on a bed of wet grass. With a rising wave of horror, Nico scanned his surroundings. They were back in Central Park again. A voice floated through the trees. Help me, Nico. Bob. It was Bob. Why won't you help me, Nico? Nico screamed in frustration, his eyes squeezed tight, and then... Chapter 10. Will was relieved to have his feet on something other than the slimy stone steps, even if it was the banks of the Styx. The air here was thick with something. He wasn't sure what, but at least they were out of that dark tunnel. Nico had been right about the underworld having some light. Its sky, could he call it a sky? It was a glowing hazy red, punctuated with flashes of orange and veins of dark shadows. Where was the light coming from? The air seemed polluted. Even worse than he'd experienced in cities like Houston or Los Angeles while touring with his mom. In the distance across the river, towering stone walls with black battlements stretched as far as he could see, blocking off access to the land of the dead, Hades' home. Will didn't want to find out. The fortress was terrifying. Welcome to the underworld, Nico said, sweeping his arm toward the horizon like he was showing off something he was proud of. He actually looked happy to be here. Well, this was his home, technically. Will couldn't escape the sense of dread crawling over his skin as he peered around. He had a confused feeling that he had been here before, but he also didn't remember how he'd gotten here. His instincts told him this was all wrong. He should run, but he had to endure it. He had to try if this quest was going to succeed. Impressive, he said weakly. Where do we go now? This way. Nico tucked his sword away and ran off to the right, bounding over the boulders that jutted along the river's edge. Will hesitated. He was enjoying not moving, and his limbs felt like lead. How did Nico have so much energy? Will wondered if this was what he looked like to Nico in the world above. Hey, wait up! Will called out, pulling the straps on his knapsack to keep it tight against his back. He chased after Nico, who moved like a mountain goat over the jagged rocks. Will wasn't sure that Nico had even heard him yell, as the roar of the river Styx was impossibly loud here, the churn of the rapids booming off the cavern walls. Nico stopped at the top of a boulder, where the river Styx widened into a swirling back eddy 15 feet below. Nico turned toward Will with a crooked smile, waved, and then, Nico, no! Nico jumped in. By the time Will made it to the boulder top, Nico's head was bobbing along in the middle of the river. He was dog paddling along in the inky water, grinning as if he was enjoying his dip, which, gods, wasn't that impossible? Will remembered Percy talking about his brief plunge into the Styx, how it was like acid to the human soul, eating away your very identity. It had almost destroyed him in a matter of seconds. Was Nico somehow immune to the river's effects? Nico! He screamed, running along the rocky bank as fast as he could. Why hadn't Nico talked to Will about this? Why did he always have so many secrets? Didn't he know by now that he could trust his own boyfriend? The muscles in Will's legs screamed at him to stop, and despair ripped through him. He couldn't keep up with the raging and turbulent current. Nico was getting farther and farther away, heading toward the next set of cataracts. Didn't Nico see the danger? His chest burning, he managed to scream Nico's name one more time before Nico plunged over the edge of the falls. Will's cry was lost in the terrible sound of the Styx. He forced himself to keep going until he stood at the top of the cataract, a lower tier of the underworld stretching out impossibly far beneath him. He scanned the water, terrified that he might see Nico's lifeless form. But in the pool below, illuminated by a purple glow, Nico was bobbing along just fine.
Will was furious. What was Nico thinking? Nico glanced up, saw him, and waved his sword like a racing flag. "Just jump in," he yelled, his voice strangely close, as if he were standing right next to Will. "The water's fine." These words made even less sense to Will than what he had just witnessed. The water's fine. Which got Will thinking. Had he ever seen Nico swimming? Did Nico even know how? And Will's exhaustion and terror, an absurd image popped into his head. Nico, wearing one of those old-timey one-piece men's swimsuits while floating in an inner tube. And Will's frazzled state of mind that seemed hysterically funny. Too bad no one else was around for Will to share it with. "Don't hold me back," Nico shouted up at him. "We have to keep moving." "What's gotten into your head, Nico?" he asked softly, not expecting Nico to hear him. "Don't you want to save Bob?" Nico yelled. "Or are you giving up on our quest already? I knew you would." "What?" Will felt punched in the gut. Nausea threatened to overwhelm him. "No, of course not. But what am I supposed to do? Is this part of the plan?" "Jump in," said Nico. "You'll be fine, I promise." Will had done any number of ridiculous things since learning he was a son of Apollo. Sure, demigods possessed abilities that pushed the limits of what human bodies were capable of. He'd seen incredible leaps, tumbles, tackles, and other feats over the years. At the same time, demigods were all still heartbreakingly mortal, and they could definitely get seriously hurt. As one of the main field medics in camp, Will had seen it firsthand, and in no way was he prepared to jump into a soul-destroying, toxic river of damnation. "Stop giving up on me," said Nico, and this time Will swore he could feel his boyfriend's breath on his neck. "Come on, don't be a coward." That comment sent a burst of anger through Will. How could Nico be so cruel? Why would he ever think of Will as a coward? A new theory started to coil around the base of Will's brain. What if the underworld was already changing Nico? All that talk from Percy and Annabeth. What was it Percy had said? "I practically lost myself in that place." He'd meant Tartarus. But what if that process had started happening even before? What if Nico didn't even realize how much he was changing? Will had to get him out of that water before it was too late, whatever the cost. He flipped his knapsack around so that it was over his chest, clasped it tightly, and jumped. Will had braced himself for a jolt of cold water. Instead, the river Styx burned. Even that was an understatement. As pain ripped through his body, his mind drifted to the memory of sitting under a tattoo gun, the needle pressing into his skin on his pectoral as his mom held his hand. She had taken him to the shop and helped him choose a design to honor his father. But once the process had begun, he'd been surprised that the sensation had felt like burning, like he was skinning his knee from a fall over and over again. Except the River Styx was a billion tattoo guns running over every inch of his body, and the ink was made of acid, and also everything was on fire, including the fire. "Yes," he decided as he bobbed to the surface, gasping for air down here. "The fire is on fire." His skin felt like it was melting off, and he wished he hadn't filled his knapsack with so much stuff. It was hard enough to swim without that extra weight. His head went under, and a mouthful of the River Styx actually went down his throat. If that water felt awful all over the outside of his body, it was even worse on the inside. He kicked as ferociously as he could, his muscles aching from the overexertion, and his head broke the surface again. His throat burned so badly even breathing hurt. He twisted around, looking for Nico. Where had he gone? "Hurry up, Slowpoke!" Nico's voice wafted past Will's left ear. Will turned, his vision was hazy, but he saw a purple glow moving across the shoreline. How had Nico gotten out of the water so fast? Will flung his arms toward the bank, then paddled frantically until the water was shallow enough for him to stand in.
By the time he flopped onto his back on the rocky riverbank, trembling and wheezing, he felt like he'd just taken a long bath in his mom's favorite ghost pepper salsa. Will imagined he could bottle Styx water and sell it as the hottest hot sauce in the world. Mr. D would probably be his celebrity sponsor for a hefty percentage. He laughed. He laughed because everything hurt. Because he shouldn't be alive. Because he was delirious from the pain and total absurdity of plunging into the River Styx. Wait, was he invulnerable now? Wasn't that what happened if you survived a dip in the Styx? That couldn't be right. It couldn't be that easy. He rolled over and pushed himself up to his hands and knees. He coughed out more acidic black water, which burned on its way out, too. Well, at least it was consistent. Nico, he croaked, swaying as he stood up. Nico, where are you? No one was there. Then, Will turned and glimpsed the familiar purple glow disappearing behind an outcrop of stalagmites. He tried to yell, Nico, stop. But his lungs were on fire. His skin felt, oh gods, was this what a sunburn was like? Being a child of Apollo meant he had never gotten one, and if it was anything similar to this sensation, he had immense sympathy for all the lobster red campers he'd seen and healed over the years. The purple glow was getting dimmer in the distance. You're just slowing me down. His boyfriend's voice whispered in his ear. How is this possible? Was Will's mind dissolving? I won't, Nico, he said, sobbing. I promise. You already are. Will watched in despair as the faint purple glow slipped into the shadows and disappeared. He crumpled to his knees, tears prickling his eyes. This wasn't happening. This couldn't happen. Nico would never do something like this to him. Nico, he cried out. Come back. But this time, Nico didn't answer. Behind Will, the Styx rushed past. Will's skin and clothes steamed. Will kept staring into the darkness, hoping to see that purple glow reappear. Then, a heavy shadow fell over him. Will didn't have the strength to fight, as it enveloped him like a burial cloth.